swings it in. The U.S. go up. What a goal from Carlos Bocanegra.
Lloyd will try a long hit. What a goal from Lloyd. This is spectacular. It's hit with no regard for humanity. Is this the moment for Shaqiri? Yes, it is. Switzerland. And Shaqiri has scored in the 90th minute. That was worth the price of admission alone.
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, here we go. We're off and running tonight on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. As always, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. Well, where to begin? We've got Champions League to talk about tonight and recap. A lot of excitement around the U.S. national team men's program. I will explain that on the show. The Dynamo getting set for their first preseason game this weekend against the Austin Bold, as they did double sessions today. We'll do a lot of Dynamo talk here tonight to fill you in on a couple of things here. By the way, the first Dynamo broadcast, which we will have with our local crew, Eddie Robinson, Cindy Bourbano, myself, that first game on Friday, April 16th, will be the singular opening game of 2021 in Major League Soccer, and we will be on ESPN+. So that's a big showcase for Todd Ramos, the team, the broadcast, because for so many years, people were not able to get the hometown call of it around the country, and all that additional exposure was not there. Well, that's all been sorted out. That'll be fixed this year, and for those out-of-market fans that remember the Dynamo going back to 2006, you'll be able to tune in. That will be against San Jose, by the way. And, of course, we will tell the story of how San Jose was relocated to Houston to become the Dynamo. All right, let's see. Premier League, Ronaldo, a lot of local updates as well, including an amazing one from Rice University. A 3-2 winner over Texas A&M in women's soccer. Goal from 60 yards out in that one. I'll talk about that tonight as well. We're streaming at ESPN975.com. Call in number throughout the show. If you want to get in first two segments, you certainly can. 713-780-3776. 713-780-ESPN. Take the platform. Be brave. Bring some soccer opinion. What we have for you tonight. Mateo Bahamic from Instituto in Argentina, Dynamo attacking player. He will be on the show tonight. He's going to talk about a number of things, including his preference playing-wise. He'll fill you in on things. You'll learn a little bit more about the Dynamo signing from Argentina. Supporters groups are going to weigh in. What I do know is that will be at 8 o'clock. So we will do a supporters group sort of conversation at 8 o'clock. It'll be interesting. We'll get a good kind of sense from Sam Purcell of the Texian Army and Sergio Zelaya of the Surge. The Surge is the youngest of groups. Did not hear back from anyone from El Batallón. But I want to get into not just the rah-rah, but I want to get into just, you know, the wait to get back into stadiums now. You know, their expectations of the team and what it is that makes these groups revolve, because we do know that they're very, very important on game day. They've brought a lot of good acoustics. That game on April 16th, by the way, only 30% of the seats can be filled. That's the decision the Dynamo has made, along with, I'm sure, the city and others. Meanwhile, the Texas Rangers are going 100%. Not sure there's enough fans to fill that Major League Baseball stadium for the Texas Rangers, but we'll find out. Also, Puerto Rico will start 2022 World Cup qualifying. You're probably going, well, why are we talking about Puerto Rico when it comes to soccer? Because after all, it is a baseball country, basketball, boxing. You fly over that country, which I have many times and been to. It's actually a U.S. territory. You see baseball fields everywhere, and they're lit up at night. It's pretty cool, actually. Shows you what the baseball culture is like there. But through having family in the U.S. Virgin Islands, you know, a lot of stops in Puerto Rico or flying over Puerto Rico, their new coach is Dave Sarakin. So Dave Sarakin's trying to navigate them through CONCACAF World Cup qualifying. So we'll do some CONCACAF talk. interesting. Dave is obviously in the Dominican Republic. That's where their first game against Nevis will take place. And then they will take on Trinidad and Tobago. But, you know, with COVID and everything and these smaller federations in the Caribbean, anything is possible. Anything can happen. I think we've seen that in some of the major leagues, including the Premier League, the Bundesliga. Teams are getting results on the road that they normally wouldn't get with, you know, jam-packed stadiums. So without fans, especially in some of these pretty intense environments in the Bundesliga, in Spain, in the Premier League, yeah, it's a little different. You can go in. You can go into the belly of the beast and get some results, and that's actually happened. There's been a lot more road wins. Daspit Law Firm is always presenting this show at Advantage BMW Midtown, Hugh O'Connor's. It's going to be a big day tomorrow, St. Patrick's Day. Hope everybody's careful. That's all I can say for a number of reasons. So, Aaron, you know the Pontiac Silverdome, don't you?
I've heard of it. I know I've heard of it. I've never been there.
All right. So I'm going to tell you an interesting story because the Pontiac Silverdome fell into kind of repair. It was built originally in the 70s for $55.7 million. They then did sort of like a bid on the place. A guy who was an investor named Andreas Apostolopoulos, obviously a Greek. Got to love the Greeks. I'm going to see Billy the Greek Sefidis tomorrow, who played with Aris. Having Greek coffee tomorrow morning with him. Played on the Houston Stars in the late 60s. Anyway, Andreas Apostolopoulos bought the Pontiac Silverdome for, get this price, he won the bid by telephone, $583,000. He bought the stadium. Now, the Detroit Lions played there. Elvis Presley played there, the Rolling Stones, the Who, John Paul II did a mass there, the Michigan Panthers played there from the USL. We had the Houston Gamblers and Jim Kelly. So get this. My first ever road game in professional soccer, you're going to love the name of this team, it's the American Soccer League, we're taking on the defending champions, the Detroit Express, who won the title in front of 30,000 plus the year before in the Silverdome. I'm on the Pennsylvania Stoners. Stoners, yes, you heard that right. World's greatest professional soccer organization name. Named for the Keystone State in Pennsylvania, not named for what some of you out there are thinking right now. So we go there to play the Detroit Express, the defending champions. I think we ended up losing 2-1. We go into the locker room. It's not even cleared out. It has all the Michigan Panthers gear in there. You know, their shirts, their jerseys, their shoulder pads and all that. And, you know, of course, we've got the funny guy on the team. Actually, he was one of our better players, a defender named Peter Carr, who puts on the entire football outfit, you know, and is screwing around, you know, in the locker room. That day, that game was played in front of probably about 6,000 people in a massive Pontiac Silverdome. If you remember, 94 World Cup, one of the big U.S. soccer moments was when Eric Winalda scored the free kick in the Pontiac Silverdome against Switzerland in a 1-1 draw. So, pretty interesting. I always thought that was amazing, though, that the guy would buy a stadium for $583,000. Would you have bought it, Aaron?
Oh, yeah. If I had that kind of money, of course.
Incredible. 500. Hey, by the way, honey, I just bought the Pontiac Silverdome. Now what are we going to do? So anyway, interesting story. That gentleman, Andreas Apostolopoulos, and this is why it came to my mind, he just passed away. So rest in peace to him, the big investor. Before we get into Champions League talk, I just want a quick mention here about the NCAA. And I just found this astounding. And maybe for some of you out there and maybe for more of the daytime talk programs, this isn't anything new. But NCAA Division I athletic programs are absolutely mired in red ink. And I'm kind of bringing this up because it's that time now for March Madness, which just generates all kinds of monies. Think about these statistics, though. Less than 10% of Division I athletic programs generated enough revenue to cover expenses of their athletic department and sports. Contemplate that. Think about that. 2019, 68 of 351 Division I basketball programs, only 68 out of 351 generated more revenue than expenses. The most recent figures we have for Division I football in 2016, 73 out of 252 generated more revenue than expenses. So, we obviously can go to these coaches' salaries, the operational expenses of football teams. Athletic programs, though, in college at the Division I level, for the most part, they're not making money. And the way they survive is, they depend on institutional funding, government support, student activity fees, and these other areas to get them over the hump. But, football teams and basketball programs and athletics are just such a big part of promoting the schools and the draw. It's crazy. Average deficit for athletic departments is $16 million at Division I schools. That comes according to sports economist Andrew Zimbalist. So as we think about men's Division I soccer, and we've talked about it on this program so many times over the years, going way, way back, in a soccer-rich state like Texas, you think about U of H, if they adopted men's soccer, you get the right hire as a coach, you're ranked nationally in 3 or 4 years, no question. No question. You can get a lot of kids to stay home, in-state tuition. It could happen so easily. But now when you think of these economics and then you factor in gender equity, which is always the other thing that athletic departments will go right to before they say they can have a men's soccer program, well, you can see the reasoning is economical maybe for not having men's programs, and you justify it with economics or gender equity. I mean, seriously, how do we not have men's soccer programs in this state outside of HBU in Houston? And I wish HBU would honestly, I want them to do more with their program. They should be more high profile. They should be doing more, and I say that respectfully. They should be a magnet and tie that into the Dynamo. I mean, U of H could be tied into the Dynamo. Now you're able to watch some local college players. You can work with them at certain times, and maybe you pick them up in the draft, and they're guys you really know in and out. March Madness, not surprisingly, is the NCAA's biggest source of income, which is over 75% of their annual revenue. Think about that. And you know what? Fred and AJ, Aaron knows this. The betting and wagering on March Madness, Jerry Bowe knows this, goes to the tune of $8.5 billion, which were the reported figures in 2019. Everybody's in on it. All right, today Manchester City in the Champions League. 2-0 win over Mönchengladbach, 4-0 on aggregate. This was easy money for them. They're still one of the favorites. Who do you think is the bigger favorite to win the Champions League? Manchester City and Pep Guardiola or Bayern Munich and Hansi Flick? City into the last eight. Two straight games against Mönchengladbach. 2-0 wins in both legs. They've won 23 out of 24. The only blemish, a loss to Manchester United this past in recent times. This was expected today to be a comfortable return for City and a comfortable second leg. It was. Kevin De Bruyne scored one of the sickest goals you'll see. A left-footed bomb. 12th minute. Ilkay Gundogan in the 18th. And it was a slow, comfortable kill. And by the way, Gladbach, only one win in their last 10. Real Madrid today, 3-1 over at Atalanta. Pounce on an early mistake. They had won the first leg 1-0. On a Mendy goal. Atalanta coming into this had won 4 out of 6. They were fourth in the Serie A. Real Madrid scraped through the last game. There's no question. But today, 3-1. Atalanta needed a special performance. They didn't get it. They needed two goals going into this. So it ends 4-1, 4-1 on aggregate. And there you go. Tomorrow we got Bayern Munich and Lazio, Chelsea and Atletico. The Chelsea-Atletico game is the one to watch. Bayern's up 4-1 on aggregate. Chelsea and Atletico. Chelsea's got a 1-0 lead over Atletico Madrid. Dortmund, Liverpool, PSG, Porto already in the quarters. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-ESPN. Give a phone call in. Manchester City or Bayern Munich? Or is there somebody else? Is it PSG? Who's the favorites to win the Champions League this year? We'll take a break. It's brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and his firm. Personal injury attorneys. 24-7, these guys are going to work for you. John and his firm, you can call them at 713-322-HURT. They're bilingual. They're going to bring you a personalized approach. You need representation when you get in an accident. It's a nervous time. You need the Daspit Law Firm. DaspitLaw.com. 713-322-HURT. By the way, John's a Chelsea fan, so I'm sure he's going to be tuning into the Chelsea-Atletico game tomorrow because he has been to Stamford Bridge. All right, we'll take a break. I've got more news around the corner. Mateo Bahamich coming up in the first hour as well. A lot to go here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5 presented by the Daspit Law Firm.
Answer that.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN. The Affordable Care Act continues to be a complex regulation, and employers must comply. Visit HRP.net for help.
Paid for by Labyrinth Labs.
Men on a scale.
I'm Greg Berhalter, and you're listening to Soccer Matters with Glenn Davis on ESPN 97.5.
It's good timing with Greg Berhalter because we're talking Yunus Musa here at the beginning of the segment. We'll take your phone call, 713-780-3776. I got some Dynamo news as well. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. By the way, I forgot to give you the goal scores in the Real Madrid 3-1 win over Atalanta today. Benzema in the 34th, assisted by Modric. That's when Atalanta's goalkeeper, Sportiello, basically passes it straight to Modric. He runs at this lone defender, lays it off to Benzema. Benzema scores. So a fatal mistake, pounded. And then Sergio Ramos made his way back from the penalty spot, 2-0. Muriel hit a nice free kick in the 83rd, Asensio in the 84th, 3-1. Lucas Vasquez got the assist. Any Real Madrid Pena members out there, 713-780-3776, and you're probably hoping that Cristiano Ronaldo does return, as there is a rumor, to Real Madrid. Okay, so Yunus Musa, if you watched the U.S. camp back in November, player that plays at Valencia, he's also a player that could commit himself to one of three countries, England, Ghana, or the United States. He was born, I believe, in Brooklyn. So for the U.S. national team and national team fans, Yunus Musa plays at Valencia. He's a midfielder, generally plays wide for them. He committed his future to the U.S. national team. This is a huge win. The U.S. get him over England, Ghana. Now, you can always win some and lose some when you have these multinationals, right? I mean, we hear the stories of it all the time with players that are doing nationals with the United States and Mexico. So again, Musa, think about it. Played his youth career representing England. A couple of different levels. Could have represented the Three Lions. Could have represented Ghana. Maybe he doesn't want to represent Ghana because sometimes things in the African Confederation, you know, the way teams are run, a little bit more problematic. But this is a huge get for the United States and a huge win for Greg Berhalter, the U.S. manager, who apparently screamed out yes when Musa committed. But here is the key to this, from everything that I understand. The key to this was a couple of things. Number one was assistant coach to Greg Berhalter, Nico Estevez. Estevez is the guy who identified Musa, identified the fact that he was multinational, was a possibility for the U.S. national team. But he also coached him at Valencia, so he had a relationship with him and stayed in constant communication with Musa. And a lot of what I'm seeing, hearing, reading, talking to other colleagues, that this was a real key. Now, his first camp, again, was in November, played against Wales, and you could see the talent immediately. There was something Paul Pogba-esque about him, way he moves, potential, skill on the ball. But the other big thing was this container that Berhalter now has that we all talked about. And remember, everybody was in a state of panic. Oh, my God, we're not a good team. And I'm looking at everyone making these comments early on after the U.S. failed to qualify for the last World Cup under Bruce Arena. And I'm saying, why would it all come together right now? Look at the talent. Look at the youth. Look at the ambition. So fast forward, you got Weston McKennie at Juventus. You got Tyler Adams at Red Bull Leipzig. You got Gio Reyna at Dortmund. A number of these guys are in the quarterfinals now of the Champions League. And, I mean, on and on we can go. Sergiño Dest, another multinational who committed to the U.S. Josh Sargent, Werder Bremen. I mean, we can go on and on. And there's a whole stack full of young, talented guys now that want to make this national team theirs, and they want to push this thing to the greatest ever World Cup performance ever. They'll get their first crack at it with Qatar, but then you say after that sort of experience, you start to target 2026, which will be hosted by the United States, Mexico, and Canada. But this energy from these guys, and I think I saw Sebastian Soto talking about it, that they really made it very inviting to him, but that he responded to the fact that these guys are all around similar ages. They've all got this great ambition and energy. And the U.S. really welcomed him into their container. And that's a big deal. So all these factors factor in. Sometimes you don't know, you know, why. I mean, sometimes it's pretty clear that somebody picks a national team because that's the easier way to get to a World Cup. Right? But in this case, the United States is getting a wonderful player in Yunus Musa with a boatload of potential at the age of 19. Fantastic. Now, if you want evidence that Diego Maradona's spirit lives, and all you have to do is have had tuned into this past weekend's Superclásico in Argentina between Boca Juniors and River Plate, it ended 1-1. Boca seemed the better team in the first half. River Plate the better team in the second half. So the score is 1-1. It's in the final minutes at the famed La Bombonera. They call it the chocolate box. Cross comes in from River Plate. It takes a deflection off of Boca Juniors' defender. It's heading towards an open net. And then all of a sudden it spins away outside the post. And you want to know what Argentine fans, specifically Diego Maradona fans and Boca Juniors fans, say? That it was the spirit of Diego Maradona who made that save. Do you believe that? 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. All right. Quick Dynamo update here. Oh, you know what? I got to really talk about this before we get out of this segment. Rice University just played Texas A&M, I believe it was Monday, 3-2 in overtime. They knock off number 12 Texas A&M. This is Rice coach Brian Lee, used to be at LSU. I think he's in his second year at the program. I put in a call to him, hoping to get him on last minute here. Kaylee Page, though, a senior from 60 yards out in overtime, gets the winner. You got to take a look at this goal. I'm sure it's on Twitter, on the Rice soccer feed. But it's out there. It's pretty remarkable. And it happened down there at Holloway Field in the medical center. Pretty remarkable. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776 is the number to call in. As usual, the great Aaron Raybould behind the glass producing tonight. I am still at the home studio. Later on tonight, we'll have Sam Purcell, the Texian Army, Sergio Zelaya talking Dynamo supporters groups, their importance. We will have Mateo Bahamich coming up in the next segment. Speaking of the Dynamo, Saturday they'll play the Austin Bold. This is closed to the public at BBVA. Training continued today. They seem to be doing double sessions on Tuesdays. So they did double sessions today. They're probably just finishing up down there. My understanding, a lot of small-sided games going on, a lot of getting on the ball right now. And again, the Dynamo opener, April 16th against San Jose. And that's the very first game. How about that? 2021 MLS season from BBVA Stadium. And it'll be televised with our home TV crew. It's going to be exciting, really exciting moment. Nico Hansen reportedly headed to Minnesota United. At this point, not sure what the Dynamo are going to get for him. But as I have stated on this show repeatedly in the past, with the stockpile of wide players, you had to think there was the potential of one of them being used in a trade or some kind of deal by the Dynamo and Todd Ramos and Matt Jordan. So they certainly have a lot of equity in the winger and wide midfield position. So the Dynamo felt inclined to get something done with Nico Hansen. We'll see what they get for him. Also, sources telling me that the Dynamo received... Okay, here's where we get in to the... We need the Major League Soccer Rules for Dummy book, because there are so many categories and differing types of, you know, general allocation money, targeted allocation money. Doesn't make it easy on the fans, let's be honest. And I'm not, you know, I know there's reasons for all this. You need these mechanisms to allow teams to try to gain some kind of advantage with a salary cap when it comes to the teams that want to spend. The Atlantas, they're going to use these things. So apparently the Dynamo got $50,000 in GAM from DC United through a discovery list conflict resolution. So that means when DC United signs center back Brendan Hines-Ike, and I'll tell you a little bit about him in a second, the Dynamo had the discovery on him. So maybe DC United did not do their homework, or the Dynamo realized they had him on a discovery. That is a player that's sort of protected. You get the first crack at him when he comes back from overseas. Hines had signed a loan deal, I'm sorry, with DC, loan deal. And I'm assuming there was some sort of confusion here. But the Dynamo will get $50,000. Hines-Ike last played in Belgium. That's where he was coming from. He was a college player at Creighton in South Florida, 2016. He was a third-round draft pick. But he's a center back. And so $50,000 coming to the Dynamo. The biggest interest to me, again, with the Dynamo remains, and this is, again, where it's fun and from the outside. It's easy to kind of look at the team and make judgments and play general manager and do all that. That's what we do. 713-780-3776. Because that's intriguing about the game. We always look at lineups, how certain guys play together, what type of system and purpose of play coaches use. You know, that's what makes it a beautiful game. It's not just about the jerseys, you know. So, getting the balance of attack and defense right in midfield, that is a big one for me. And that's going to have to come out of the group of Darwin Quintero, Joe Corona, Memo Rodriguez, Darwin Seren, Matias Vera, Derek Jones, and Boniek Garcia. I think we know what Boniek's role is going to be. Marcelo Palomino now is down in Charlotte in the USL on loan. This is great for him. He'll get games. He'll play in Memorial Stadium, which is a great little stadium, which I actually played back in the 80s, and it was fantastic. Fans are right on top of you. He will get monitored, rest assured, by Charlotte FC. But now back to the Dynamo midfield. I expect that with the amount of wingers, Tyler Pascher, Lassiter, Pico, Bahamich, I guess we expect Coach Todd Ramos. And he's hinted on this show. He's basically said he wants at this moment, Quintero to play at the top of a midfield. So that means there's two more slots in a 4-3-3. So who gets him? Does that mean Memo Rodriguez is an understudy to Quintero or comes off the bench or starts at different times and in different roles? Or can they get him on the field at the same time? But I don't think at this moment Tab Ramos wants to occupy one of his wide positions with Darwin Quintero, who last year was exceptional, but exceptional for a team that only won four games. Got to get in the playoffs. Like Van Halen said, you got to turn this thing around. And players are working hard. That's what we're hearing. Now, if it isn't working with Quintero at the top of a midfield, let's say you do push him back out wide, then you can probably drop Memo Rodriguez in and play. Is it Vera and Corona? What do you think the early odds are on who the other two midfield players will be? Derek Jones is kind of that X factor. We've talked about that as well. But anyway, it's fun. It's speculation. We'll talk to the guys from the supporters groups about it as well. Last night on the show in Austin, Soccer Matters, also presented by DaspitLawAustin.com, I had Amobi Okugo of the Austin Bold on, Julio Cascante, who came over from the Portland Timbers as well. Those were good interviews. And Austin will come in the Bold this weekend. We talked a little bit about, you know, the Bold, San Antonio FC, and the USL, and now the big boys on the block coming into Major League Soccer stealing all the attention right now. It's Austin FC. Think about it. Amobi Okugo comes in with the Bold this weekend. Kofi Sarkodie. There's a lot of Dynamo ties to the Austin Bold. Kofi Sarkodie, J.J. Johnson, you remember him? Jermaine Taylor. Avi Baez has played over 200 appearances for Chivas in Mexico. Which, by the way, took a beatdown from Club America. Going to take you to break with the Smiths. And right now, a word here for Advantage BMW. I've driven one for years. I've leased. I've bought from Advantage BMW Midtown. Love the vehicle. I mean, it is the ultimate driving machine. The other thing I love at Advantage BMW Midtown is customer service. They're big soccer fans down there. Go down there. Ask for Justin. Ask for Steven. Advantage BMW Midtown, as you covered, sales, service, finance. You get through the process easy. Get in the sedan, a 3, a 5, or a 7. Maybe you want the X5. Incredible vehicles down there. Go down there and look in the showroom. It's pretty special. We've done some radio shows down there, too. We need to do another one down there this year. AdvantageBMWHouston.com. It's Advantage BMW Midtown. We'll take a break. It's a Hugh O'Connor's break.
Nothing in particular. ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
Okay, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. One of the anticipated signings for the Houston Dynamo, another attacking player. We heard about it last year when he was signed for a reported $1.2 million transfer fee from Instituto de Cordoba. And he joins us now. He is Mateo Bajamic. Mateo, welcome to the show.
Mateo, pues muchas gracias por acompañarnos. Como sabe, es su primera temporada completa con nosotros, ya que ingresó al equipo al fin del año pasado. ¿Cómo está?
Hola, todo bien.
First question would be simply, how does he feel about the move to Major League Soccer and this particular move in this time of his career?
Pues Mateo, ¿cómo se siente llegar aquí a MLS y pues a seguir su crecimiento como jugador aquí en los Estados Unidos?
No, me siento bien y contento de venir a la MLS porque es una liga muy competitiva y yo creo que con el grupo ahora ya estoy integrado y estamos trabajando duro para el comienzo de la temporada.
Glenn, I'm in a good spot. I'm in a spot where I'm in a league that's growing. That's one of the best leagues in this part of the world. And in a good group, a group that's working hard, getting ready for that first game. A team that I'm kind of more in a position where I'm integrating pretty well. So overall, things are just falling into place.
How much MLS has Mateo seen prior to coming here?
Mateo, pues, ¿qué conoces la liga? ¿Qué tanto vio partidos de la liga antes de llegar aquí a Houston?
No, he visto varios porque hay bastantes argentinos acá, así que he visto varios y sé que son muy intensos y de mucha transición.
I've seen a lot, Glenn, just because there's so many Argentine players here in MLS, so I'm very familiar with the general lay of the land. It's a league that could be won or decided or lost based on transition. The transition game is big, and that's definitely something that I've noticed just keeping an eye on some of the games that I've seen prior to joining to the team.
Mateo, what about, the general feeling when you were in Argentina about Major League Soccer? And, you know, is there a large desire for the Argentine player to come to Major League Soccer?
Pues hablando de la liga, ¿cómo se ve en Argentina en términos de nivel o en términos de ser una liga que, pues, tiene mucho que dar, ¿no?
Sí, yo creo que se ve muy bien y se ve competitiva. Yo creo que ha cambiado mucho, ha ido mejorando tras los años, ha ido mejorando en lo competitivo la liga.
But it's a league that is just overall very competitive, and I think that's what we've noticed down there is that anyone can win it, that you've got teams from different backgrounds getting to the title, and something that's noticeable, something that caught our eye as the league just kept growing and growing, and it's a league that's very different from when it first started, and very aware of that.
Mateo Bahamic joining us here on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. Mateo's a slashing, exciting winger, and obviously in Primera B in Argentina had 12 goals in 36 appearances. How's he scoring that many goals being a wide player?
Pues Mateo, ¿cómo ha anotado usted tantos goles jugando por la banda?
Y yo creo que yo antes, cuando era más chico, sería en inferiores, jugaba de 9. Entonces, yo quiero hacer goles. No es que yo solamente tiro centros o algo. Entonces, por ahí me meto más adentro del área y tengo ese olfato que por ahí es necesario en el área.
Glenn, funny you asked that, because when I was in the academy growing up and just kind of going through the youth system, I actually played as a number 9. So my instincts are to just go and attack goal, go and you know, put the ball in the back of the net. Now, the last few years I've been out wide, and my function isn't really just to send court or crosses. That's a part of the game, but I'm definitely not afraid to go up there and, you know, go one-on-one and try to get the ball in the back of the net.
We have seen Mateo in a lot of the footage. He does cut inside. And Mateo, I would just say, what side of the field do you prefer? Are you comfortable being an inverted winger coming in from the left as well?
Pues Mateo, ¿cuál lado de la cancha le prefiere jugar usted? ¿Le gusta estar pues por la banda y luego trabajar para el centro? ¿O cómo maneja eso?
Sí, yo creo que por la derecha me he sentido más cómodo, pero también lo puedo hacer bien por las dos bandas o por el centro también, con otro 9, acompañado de otro 9, también lo puedo hacer, me siento cómodo.
Glenn, I feel pretty comfortable on both sides of the field, but I would say that on the right side, naturally, that just comes, you know, instinctively to me. Then if you switch it up, if it's just two up top, I could definitely work off a partner. So it depends on what the game calls for. Very comfortable on both sides of the field, but naturally the right side is where I gravitate towards.
Well, Mateo does know. Does he know that he's picked a very good state when it comes to beef
because we all know everybody loves a good bistec in Argentina. Does he know Texas has got a great set of farms with tremendous beef and restaurants?
Mateo, pues, ¿qué conoce de Texas en términos de la carne de res o para lo asado? Pues que en ese asado pues hay mucha variedad.
Sí, no es tan parecida como la carne argentina, pero no, es rica la carne y yo creo que se parece bastante.
There are definitely a few similarities. There's also a little bit of a difference. I guess for me, there's just nothing like what you find back home, but I'm definitely in a good spot just given the variety of options here in Houston and throughout Texas.
How has preseason gone so far, and how has the adjustment been to his teammates?
Pues Mateo, ¿cómo va la pretemporada? ¿Cómo ha sido esta transición a un nuevo año futbolístico?
No, viene siendo intenso los entrenamientos. Es obvio que en pretemporada tiene que ser así que vamos encontrándole la vuelta a lo táctico y a lo físico también.
It's very intense, Glenn. If I had to put it in one word, I would say intense, which it should be. In preseason, you just have to get ready for what the challenges are going to be down the road. And the group is approaching it with the right mentality. So in a good spot, definitely kind of trying to balance the physical demand and the mental demand, because there's two different sides hitting you all at the same time.
Mateo Bahamic joining us here on ESPN 97.5 Soccer Matters. Is it comforting to have other players from Argentina on the team, like Maxi Arruti, like some of the other guys that are from the country of Argentina, including Matias Vera?
Mateo, pues, ¿cómo le ayuda aclamarse al grupo con jugadores que ya han estado aquí en esta liga? Hay que decir, con jugadores argentinos como Mati o Maxi o otros sudamericanos aquí en el Dynamo.
No, sí, yo creo que me adapté bien y me ayudaron mucho también ellos dos para ir adaptándome mejor, pero yo creo que como hablan mucho español en el plantel, yo creo que me voy a ir adaptando mucho mejor.
They played a big role, Glenn, for sure. It helps that a good chunk of the squad speaks Spanish, so just having that denominator makes it easier for me to help or transition and get the help I need as, you know, I get integrated into the team and just the day-to-day life here.
I'm just interested to ask Mateo, how much media does he have to do in Argentina when he was on Instituto de Cordoba? How much media do you have to do? How often are you presented to the press, per se?
Mateo, pues allá en Argentina con su club, ¿cómo fue la rutina de los medios? ¿Había algún horario ciertas veces a la semana? ¿Cómo se manejaba eso cuando usted estaba ya en instituto?
No, allá en Córdoba sería no había conferencia de prensa así con muchos periodistas preguntando. Solo a veces a la tarde, así como ahora, te llamaba una radio o lo que sea, pero no es que había una conferencia de prensa por semana.
Glenn, there wasn't really a formal press conference, I guess, set up, as you would see here, maybe. There were definitely media opportunities where on an afternoon, you know, similar to this, or during the evening, where you'd catch up with radio stations, certain programs, or just general interviews. But it was come as they go. The structure is a little different in that it's not regimented as it is here.
Wanted to ask Mateo, did he watch the Boca River game this past weekend?
Que sí, vio el partido entre River y Boca anoche.
Sí, lo vi, sí.
So, ¿y de quién es aficionado?
¿Cómo?
Que sí, tuvo un interés en quién ganaba.
Sí, de River.
He did watch the game and he was rooting for River.
You were rooting for River, okay. So does he believe Diego Maradona saved that goal in this game?
Entonces pregunta Glenn que si usted piensa que Diego Maradona pues tuvo una mano en detener ese gol de ayer.
Espíritu.
Sí, sí, hicieron muchas fotos con eso. No sé qué pasó, que picó y salió.
Yeah, he says that he can't explain it. It's something where it looks like it went in, but it just bounced right out.
Mateo Bahamic joining us on the program. Before we let him go, we just Want to wish Mateo the best of luck. Thank you very much for doing this interview with us. We're really looking forward to watching him play and continued success for him in his career here in Major League Soccer.
Mateo, pues muchas gracias. Es que le queremos desear lo mejor esta temporada y pues aquí en su tiempo con nosotros y pues en su tiempo como futbolista para que pues nos ayude y pues seguir acá triunfando entre todos.
Bueno, muchas gracias a ustedes también por el tiempo.
Gracias, Mateo. Thank you very much for coming on the program.
Dale.
We appreciate that. All right, we're going to take a break here. More to come on Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. It's always presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.
Hey, soccer fans, a moment here.